The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 5th chapter. Luke writes, "On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men.' And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, today's gospel reading is the miraculous catch of fish at the Sea of Galilee, or as Luke refers it to it, the Lake of Gennesaret. Now, if you close your eyes and you try really hard, you can almost hear the lapping of the waves, the squawking of the seagulls, the bustling activity on the shore, and the creaking of those wooden boats. You can almost smell the salty sea air and the rank seaweed which has been lying on the sand exposed to the sun, the warmth of which has just started to sting your shoulders. No doubt some of these descriptions of the sights and the sounds and the smells of the sea will bring back some fond memories, especially if you happen to be a person who has a passion for fishing or has dreamt of catching that big one just for bragging rights. Watching some of the fishing shows that we see on TV, they seem to make it so easy. It just seems easy. They throw in the line and in next to no time, you have this magnificent monster of a fish that you could only imagine in your craziest of dreams. But that doesn't happen for most of us. In real life, it's not that easy. If we are extremely fortunate, maybe we might catch a decent-sized fish every so often. But most of the time, the fishing trip ends with us giving something out there in the water a good feeding, because the bait that we put on our hooks, it just keeps disappearing. And the fish that we get to take home is what we pick up from the local grocery store on our way home from the lake. Unlike us, the fishermen in today's text, well, they're professionals who fish for a living in Lake Genesaret, where fishing is still a big industry today. But on this particular occasion, despite having been out all night, they still haven't caught as much as a shiner. It's probably an occasion for one of those, well, it was this big, but it got away. The fishermen certainly won't be making those Facebook posts with their big catch to show off their trophies tomorrow. But then Jesus, he comes along and he tells them to go out into the deep water and to lower their nets for a catch. And you can hear the frustration in Simon's voice. Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. You would think that Simon would know what he's doing. You see, he's that professional fisherman. He should know much more than Jesus, who is merely a carpenter. But of course, this isn't just Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter. It's Jesus, the Son of God. And the miracle of his living and active word is creating faith. From as early as verse 3 in our gospel text, Jesus shows the authority that he has to teach the people the things they should know of God's kingdom. He shows the people his authority by sitting in the boat. You see, in the ancient world, sitting was the customary position for those who had authority to teach. And so Simon's boat, it becomes Jesus' pulpit. And after Jesus finishes speaking, he says, go out into the deep water and put the nets down for a catch. And what happens? Such a large catch that the nets, they begin to tear. Those in the boat need to call their business partners over to help. And the boats, they begin to sink from the weight of this catch. Perhaps our human title of the miraculous catch of fish that is often attributed to this gospel account would be better rephrased, the miraculous work of the living and active word of God. For what Jesus says happens. And with this miracle, Jesus intends to remind his audience of the creation account. God said, let there be light. And it was so. God said, let the land produce vegetation. And it was so. God said, let there be lights in the sky. And it was so. And so on. The creation account continues, showing the power of God's living and active word to create. He speaks creation into existence. Now here in our gospel reading, Jesus, the word of life, he shows himself to be God. And he does this by exercising his divine authority over creation. And with his powerful words, speaks recreation into existence. And in doing so, he vindicates his earlier posture of sitting to teach. For his word has authority, not only to impart wisdom and knowledge, but to recreate. So when Simon witnesses this miracle, he recognizes that he is in the presence of the Holy Son of God. Jesus' holiness exposes Simon's sinfulness. And the response that Simon offers, well, it's entirely appropriate. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I want you to pay attention to that and notice that he doesn't say, depart from me, for I have sinned. No, he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. It's that exact same confession that we have from Isaiah in today's Old Testament reading, who, having recognized that he was in the presence of the Holy One of God, he laments, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord, the Almighty." Both Isaiah and Simon Peter recognize that sin is first of all a condition, a state of being inherited from Adam. And that's what the Apostle Paul means when he says in Romans 5:12, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. It's a state of brokenness which shows itself in being unable by our own strength to know God or to truly love him or others. But it rather selfishly seeks all of the opposites of love, which we heard in last week's sermon and in our text from 1 Corinthians 13. Then we see in our text today the second gospel, the second miracle. Did you pick out what Jesus was saying? For he simply says, "Do not be afraid." Did you hear that? It is the miracle of the forgiveness of sins. Jesus' words, which again do what they say, they make the unworthy sinner to remain in the presence of the Holy One of God. And this is what is most astonishing about today's gospel reading. Far more astonishing than filling a boat with fish. Jesus not only forgives sinners, but he calls them to share in his ministry, to be his witnesses. So when we hear the conclusion to our text today, that the fishermen, now disciples, they pulled their boats up on the shore and they left everything and followed Jesus, it's easy for us to read that as saying that they had terrific obedience. They must have had this mature and marvelous faith above others. And we tend to search for something within them, some quality that Jesus must have been pleased with to have selected them, so that perhaps we can work towards that same type of favor. But there's nothing special at all about these people. They're just ordinary human beings like you and me. They're Galileans who fish for their jobs, who have done nothing extraordinary to earn the favor of Jesus. In fact, just the opposite is true. Remember that Simon Peter would later deny our Lord three times during Holy Week. Jesus, he knew this would happen. But you see, before Simon Peter had a chance to choose to follow Jesus, what's Jesus do? He chooses him. He chooses him to be his disciple, to catch men just simply by saying to him, "From now on, you will catch men." Once again, his powerful, living, and active word, it does what it says. And for Peter and for us, you need to understand that we are passive in that active word of God. In and of ourselves, we are people of unclean lips. How dare we speak the word of God to others, as sinful as we are? Nevertheless, there is an alien righteousness, a cleanness that comes out to us from another. For it is he who asks, "Who will go for us?" Therefore, when he calls, we may answer, send me. Send me, knowing that we have been made clean in Christ. John 15:3. He knows his purpose for us and will not forsake his work through us. The work of his hands, not our own. This is how God builds his church. He calls people to take his word to others. It may seem like we are out of our depths, and so we are. But you know what? He's with us. He's our advocate. He's our helper. So at his word, we may respond with the confidence that he is truly at work in his church through those whom he calls. Jesus, he says, from now on, you will catch men. So simply, that's exactly what happened. Simon followed Jesus because Jesus first called him. And we follow because Jesus first called us with his powerful word that does what it says, a calling that we received in our baptisms. When Jesus says, from now on, you will catch men, you need to understand that the word that he uses there in the ancient text, it actually means to catch alive. When, or should I say, if we do happen to catch some fish, aren't their numbers short-lived? Until they end up on our barbecue grills or in our deep fryers, served with a side of tartar sauce and maybe some lemon wedges. Sounds good. Makes me hungry. But you see, when people are caught in the gospel, the opposite happens. Their days, their hours are no longer numbered because they are released from the prison of sin and death, and they receive everlasting life. It is Jesus' words of life that work life. Our reformer, Martin Luther, he stated this about our gospel text today from Luke 5. And he says that in vain we teach the law, our human ordinances, and our own devices. The whole night we are in the dark, only to the end that the weak conscience may be smitten with anguish and is martyred. But without the word of Christ, which is the light, one never catches anything. And so in our mission fields, we don't need to engage in the latest spiritual programs for successful evangelism to happen. We don't need to radically change our worship services so that we can somehow woo people in from the back door. We simply need to proclaim the words of our Lord. Christ's gospel, his words of life, they are sufficient for me and they are sufficient for you. And that's how the miraculous sign, the catch of fish, is intended to encourage us. The miraculous catch of fish is intended to point ahead to Christ and to show us the abundant catch that will come from preaching and teaching his gospel. Even when we look around and we are tempted to think that the very opposite is happening. Dear saints, I have a question for you. In today's gospel reading, where do you see yourselves? Who do you identify with in this gospel story? Do you see yourself as one in the crowd pressing in on Jesus because you are so keen to hear the word of God? Do you see yourself as one of the crowd on the shore attentively listening to Jesus? Do you see yourself as one of those leaving the shore and following Jesus as a disciple? Or do you see yourself as Simon Peter, recognizing your sinfulness and frailty in the light of God's holiness and feeling unworthy of his presence in your life? Dear saints, in our gospel text, Jesus met with ordinary people and called them to be hearers of the word of God and sharers in his mission to bring the word of God to all nations, undeserving as they are. Today, he does the same for you. He calls you to follow him in sharing the same message of forgiveness of sins that you yourself have received. What opportunities will you look for to meet with Jesus and hear his words of life and share them with those who have not yet been caught alive? This right here is your call. And this is how you will walk with Christ in his great commission. With whomever you identify with in our text, remember this. Remember Jesus' words of absolution. And these words are to you: do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch people. Now may this give you peace. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. May it guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.